ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
4 years after the collapse of Islamic State in Syria, it's estimated that 33 Australian women and children remain trapped in the squalid and dangerous camps in the country's northeast. This time last year, a group of 17 citizens was repatriated to Australia, but the federal government has refused to bring any more home. Today, Save the Children is challenging that decision in the federal court, arguing the government has the power and a legal obligation to do so. Save the Children Australia CEO Matt Tinkler joins me in the studio along with Kamal Debussy, who is acting as a spokesman for the families and whose own daughter, Mariam, and three grandchildren were among those brought home last year. Thank you to both of you.
Good morning.
Matt Tinkler, if we can just begin with why you're doing this, what is the legal basis for your court case?
We have filed a
1 minute. We'll just get your microphone activated. Take it away.
No worries. We're seeking a writ of habeas corpus, and this is one of the most fundamental rights under common law, which essentially allows people who are held captive against their will and unlawfully to challenge the conditions of their detention. And we will be arguing here that these children are innocent, they've committed no crime, they're being held arbitrarily against their will, that detention is unlawful. And the Australian government has effective control of that detention because by dint of a couple of emails, they could arrange the Kurdish administration to release the Australian women and children into their custody and repatriate them back here to Australia. And we know they can do this because they've done it twice before. We know the Kurdish administration have said very publicly they want foreign governments like Australia to take responsibility for their citizens, and they will do what's necessary to facilitate their return as well. So we think this is a really strong claim, and that's why we're taking it to the federal court today.
The government did repatriate a group last October. So how can they argue that for not doing it now?
Good question. You'd have to ask the government that, PK. I don't see any rational or reasonable excuse for not repatriating these additional women and children. There's 33 the subject of this claim. There's over 40 Australians detained in the camp. I know firsthand from having been there, this is one of the worst places in the world to be a child. These people are living in the Syrian desert. The temperatures are extraordinary. The heat of the summer, the freezing cold of the winter, very limited access to healthcare for the children. Many of them are suffering from significant medical conditions that haven't been treated adequately. So there's no good reason why they remain there in our view.
Kamal, your daughter, Mariam, and your three grandchildren were brought here from Syria in October last year. Just give me a sense of that process and how they're going.
Well, the process was fairly straightforward. I've been asked not to give too much information as to exactly how it took place, but it was relatively straightforward. The government facilitated that without too much hassle. They're doing quite well. They've availed themselves of the health services. We've got great services here in Australia. Dental care in particular, just getting to a dentist has actually changed these kids' lives, being able to get proper dental care, and they're thriving. You know, at schools, they're involved in costume parades and birthday parties and all those things that kids should be doing. And they're getting on with life and they're doing relatively well.
Give me a sense of you, like as a grandfather, it must have been very heartbreaking for you to know that these kids were in the camp. What state did you see them in when they came home?
It's very difficult to describe the emotion. I mean, it was an overwhelming exercise to see them come home. I visited them in the camp when they were there as well. So being able to visit them and not bring them home was heart-wrenching and heartbreaking. They're Australians, they're Australian citizens. But, you know, when they finally got home, it was overwhelming. It was great to see them. I've three little ones in the house with me at the moment, so I'm doing like a lot of other parents do, you know, getting them ready for school in the morning and trying to arrange school holiday activities and all those other things that we do at the same time.
And nearly a year on from coming home, there was a lot of fear that even the children perhaps had been radicalised. These were some of the fears that were around or would not be able to fit into Australian society. Has that been difficult?
For the kids, absolutely not. Their biggest concerns as to whether they can find the right Barbie outfit at Kmart for the pops costume parade at school, and which songs they're going to lip sync to in the evenings. I mean, these are what they're facing. They're 5, 7, and 9. There's absolutely no concerns for these children at all, and I haven't seen them before, and they're not present. No.
A lot of people say these women don't deserve to be repatriated, that they made their decisions willingly and they must, you know, live with them as you do with consequence. What do you say to that?
Look, there are 17-odd women in total, and there are 17 stories. My daughter, as I said before, the Australian government knocked on the door, told me she'd been coerced into going into Syria. She didn't make her choice to go. Every single woman has a different story. Some were there before the civil war. Some were children when they were taken that have become adults. It's not as simple as one story fits all. But this is the great thing about Australia. We have systems, we have rules, we have abilities. If somebody's done something incorrect, they can be brought to account. If not, of course, they should be provided protection. So I would say that the best outcome for everyone is to bring them back to Australia. Deal with them here, and we've already done a lot of research. They've already got a lot of information.
Mm. Matt, we've heard from your visit in June last year about how difficult the conditions are in the camps. What do we know about the situation since then? Has it changed? Has it got worse? What do we know?
Well, it's gotten worse. This is one of the most fragile parts of the world. The Kurdish administration, who are responsible for the camps, are doing their best, but it's a very difficult environment. The Kurdish administration has to provide for their own citizens who've been through a war for over a decade. And then they're wearing this burden on behalf of other foreign governments of providing humanitarian support to the women and children who are detained there. So it's a really difficult situation, very limited resources available for the women and children. The tents that they live in are pitched in the desert. It's a working oil field, so there are noxious fumes coming through every night. So I firmly believe this is one of the worst places in the world to be a child, and there's innocent Australian children there being detained against their will. The Australian government has it within their power to end this situation right now, and they should do so.
Mm. I wonder, Kamal, why you're still advocating here. Some people would think you've had a personal family victory, you've got your family back. Why is it important for you to take a stand for other families?
Well, I think for everything that's just been talked about today, you know, these people have come into my story, into my life. I just can't look for my daughter and then turn my back on the rest either. So I committed to try and bring everybody home. And I might add, these are the stories that we know about. There's been some other stories that we've provided assistance to as well. We have a child that we've found who's an orphan in a different part of Syria that we're advocating with the government to try and get home. I've also provided support to families that had people detained in Iran as well. We've provided, you know, people have come out of the woodwork as well. So we continue to provide them support, but primarily the focus is on Syria. And there are other children, there are other families, and we continue to provide them that support. And I think what we've said today beautifully illustrates why we need to maintain the struggle to bring people home.
Back to the court case, are you confident of success? And even if you don't succeed in court, what chance is there that the federal government will do something about some of these families?
Well, the government could do something right now. There's nothing standing in their way.
Clearly, it's a security issue. That's what they say, right?
Well, we know that the government's had security advice that says the best way to deal with any security risk is to bring the women and children home to Australia, where the Australian judicial national security systems can be applied, not leave them in camps in northeast Syria. So I don't think that's a reasonable excuse. Mm-hmm. We're optimistic about this court case. We think it's a really highly arguable case, and we'll see what the court decides.
Mm. Thank you to both of you. It's been a real pleasure to speak to you.
Thanks for having us.
Matt Tinkler, CEO of Save the Children Australia, and Kamal Debussy, who's the father and grandfather to the repatriated woman Mariam and her three children that he's also helping care for. The Department of Home Affairs was contacted for a response, but they said it would be inappropriate to comment while the matter is before the court.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.